Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome once again to the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Raj Giri. Later up, we're going to talk about SmackDown Live and Survivor Series. But first, Raj, who's our special guest today?
Today we got Heath Slater, and we're having some technical difficulties, so we're doing it a unique way where he's on my speakerphone, but he can hear us. Heath, how are you doing?
Man, you know, besides the technical difficulties, I'm doing pretty good.
So from Monday Night Raw to now you're back home now, right?
Yeah. So, I'm in my living room, well, dining room right now.
So how long does it take to get over that kind of jet lag?
It doesn't. I'm just used to it now.
Yeah?
Walking zombie, man.
So you got a few days off?
Yeah, I don't have to go back until Raw in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for joining us. Really glad to have you on. Yeah, so obviously we want to talk about your new wrestling school. Face-to-facewrestling.com. How'd you get the idea for that?
You know, every wrestler always has the idea of wanting to have his own school. So pretty much it just came to me when I first walked into first school I went to, pretty much. It was like, you know, getting to learn the basics, seeing how it's run, and then one of those things where, you just want one yourself someday. Like, you know. That's just how it happened with me. Like, I always wanted one. That's what it is. I've always wanted one. And now I got one. So I'm happy.
Yeah. I definitely want to talk a lot more about it, but I definitely got to ask you, your former 3MB partner, Jinder Mahal.
Oh, yeah, baby.
6-month title reign came to an end last night. You lost to AJ Styles on SmackDown Live. Have you had a chance to watch it?
I didn't get to watch it because, you know, I was traveling, and when I got home, I fell asleep around 7 p.m. and I woke up at 5 a.m. So I didn't see it, but I heard about it. And, you know, I mean, hell, WWE champion for 6 months? Heck yeah. Well, yeah, why not? And he lost it, a phenomenal one. And as you know, AJ's great, and I'm sure it was an awesome match, and I will watch it. But, yeah, it's a damn shame because I was hoping he was going to go for a year with it.
Yeah, were you surprised by that?
You know, nothing surprises me anymore, if you want me to be honest. no, but then yes, you know. It's like one of those things where I'm sure the world was surprised and then happy, and, you know, because Jinder's a great heel. But, anything can happen in the WWE, man. That's just how it is. That's what makes it fun and spontaneous and unpredictable. You just never know.
Yeah, it's been a wild couple of weeks. I mean, today they announced that John Cena is going to be on Team SmackDown.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, had you not heard that yet?
they are stacked.
Yeah. And you being Team Raw, you were on SmackDown, you were drafted. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, last year, last year, me and Rhino was team captain for the tag team.
Yeah.
SmackDown. Woo! How a year can change, right?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the rivalry between the two brands, kind of like behind the scenes?
I think it's exciting as hell. I love it. Competition is great. To me, it's like they came in our house twice, so I'm ready to go back to SmackDown and knock on their door. Well, not really knock on it. Let's just kick the damn thing down and walk in and just start swinging some fists, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's how we all feel right now. That's why we all were ready on Monday. But it's just like, you know, SmackDown gave me a chance, gave me an opportunity. I didn't get drafted. I was a free agent. They gave me that chance, you know? So, you know, I like SmackDown a little bit, but I bleed them red now. So it's one of those things where thanks for the opportunity, but now I'm over here and you want to come and just walk in their house and just beat us all up? Nah, that ain't going to happen. You know we're going to come back at you.
So I'm not sure if Heath could hear me still, but Raj.
Can you hear Glenn?
No, I think I might have dropped it. Okay. Ask Keith how that storyline came about last year, because I thought that was the best storyline.
So Glenn is asking how that storyline came about last year. The free agent?
Free agent, yeah.
The free agent.
Yeah. How did it come about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea. It was just one of those things where they let me know at the very, 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 very last second. And I just was like, well, this is an opportunity. And I'm one of those guys that likes to, you know, they give me an inch, I like to take a mile. And I'll do whatever I need to, you know, try to get the people with me and behind me. If it's yelling at me and booing me or cheering me and loving me, you know, it's just the entertainment value of it. But I have really, like, I want to say someone that helped me out along the ways, you know, some of the agents probably pitched that idea and knew that I'd make it good. I don't know. That's what I'm guessing, and that's what I kind of heard. But it's just one of those things where, you know, it was fun to do, and I really enjoyed it. And it was like one of those little moments I could put in my books. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a lot of damn fun, if you want me to be honest. I really wish it would have went longer. You know, just interrupting everything, being a little unpredictable rebel. I mean, shit, that's a lot of fun, being honest.
Yeah. So how was that? Real quick, I'm going to try a couple tech hacks. Glenn, can you say something?
Yeah, actually, I can
hear you.
Okay, so I'm sticking my microphone to my...
Okay, how about me, Heath? Can you hear me now? We got a hack.
I can hear you, but you sound very far away.
Okay, I'll speak in the mic. So, how did that feel when at SummerSlam last year, people were chanting, "We want Slater"? You found yourself in the ring with Brock Lesnar. Today, it looks like the only member of 3MB to face off against him. Did it go? Was it bigger than you ever thought it would be by the time you and Rhino actually won the SmackDown belts?
Like I said, you know how it's all unpredictable and you just never know.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those things that if the people were on my side, I'm going to be with them, you know. And I think it was one of those things hell, man, I've been signed for 11 years. So I've been around the block more than five times. And it's one of those things where I think that over the years they saw me, you know, get beat, and all this stuff. But it's like they got sympathy for me, and they were like, you know what? You know, because they meet me out in public. And, I mean, I'm just like everyone else, man. I'm a nice guy. I like to, you know, say hello to everyone. I'm a people person. But I think they just had sympathy for me, man. And they were like, oh, no, not Slater. Come on. And then with me being that, you know, busting out and just acting, you know, rebellious and stuff, but being like cool with it a little bit. And the people were like, yeah, Slater, we love you. I mean, it was awesome. It was a great feeling. There ain't no better feeling. I wish I could do it again.
It does seem like whenever they put you in something like that, in a storyline, whether it's with, you know, teaming with Rhino or the Social Outcast or 3MB, it gets over. Like, the fans love it. It's really entertaining.
Man, honestly, this is what you got to do. Whatever you get, you do the best damn way possible to make it work. That's what you do. And I mean, shoot, I was in a band. I can't even play an instrument, you know? But you live it, you believe it, you have fun with it. And if the people's enjoying it, that's what really matters, man. I mean, they're the ones that come to the show. They're the ones that watch it. They're the ones that pay good money, you know, for merchandise and stuff. And if I can honestly say with the people being like, oh, I remember you in Nexus. I remember you in NXT. I remember you in Core, 3OP, you know, like all these things, you know, when you wrestled the legends, blah, 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 blah. Like moments. Moments is what it's about. It's about those moments. To me, anyway.
Absolutely. And kind of going with that, with your wrestling school, face2facewrestling.com, is that something that's really stressed, is how important it is to work on your character and to be a character?
Oh, hell yeah. Bro, I want to teach the total package. You know, I want you to be able to go out there and cut a promo on anything. I want you to be able to have a gimmick that you're comfortable with and you can make it work. I want you to learn every daggone thing that you can possibly learn, because I'm still learning also. But I got a lot that I've learned that I can teach. So it's one of those things where, like, I'm trying to always, like, get the best out of whoever walks in that school, period. That's just the bottom line. And I'm the type of guy that shoots from the hip, and you know, you got to have tough skin in the business. So if you're doing something wrong, just take good, you know, criticism, because I'll let you know if you are. You know, like I don't want anyone to keep doing something wrong and then they get in habit with it. And next thing you know, they keep doing it, but it's the wrong way of doing it. Like, I mean, you got to have thick skin in the business. I want to make sure everyone can get ready for NXT and WWE and all of that stuff. You know, if you're not ready to go there or not picked up, I can make sure I can give you some pointers and help you out if you want to come to face-to-face.
Yeah. And fans have really gotten to see a lot of your journey as far as, you know, the Nexus. Obviously, I'm sure you get questions about that every day.
Yeah.
NXT before that. And just
the foundation, baby.
Right. Yeah. Well, where was your original training? It was before NXT.
It was Atlanta, Georgia with Mr. Hughes.
Mr. Hughes. And he's helping out with your current school, right?
Yes, he is. It's like full circle.
Yeah. That's wild. Yeah. And
it's kind of crazy.
So how was it training with Mr. Hughes in Atlanta?
I mean, back when I was a young kid and didn't know anything, it was the best thing in the world. I mean, still I have good memories, you know. I don't have anything bad to say about him. He always did me good. He always helped me out. I mean, hell, he's at the school now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things where he's always done good with me. So he's taught me the road. He took me on the road. He's the first guy I ever went on the road with. He really took me underneath his wing and helped me as much as he could until I got called up to the farm leagues, because I was on the Indies for like 2 years, and I got called up, and I was in Deep South, and then to, you know, FCW, and then NXT season one on television, and Nexus Core, and there you go.
We've talked to, you know, some of the other Nexus members. Sounded like you guys really had no idea what was happening from show to show.
Hell no. We had no idea.
Yeah.
And literally, you can sit back and watch that season again, and I just laugh. I mean, it's one of those things where I'm just like, we had no clue what was going on, nothing. And it's just one of those things where you had to ad-lib, you had to just go for it. I mean, it was wild, man, and you're on national television.
Yeah, and I have to ask about the Nexus angle, or people are going to get pissed. So that day, you guys, the day before, you had no idea that was coming.
Nope. We all thought we were getting fired.
So what is that? What is that internal reaction like? What's your feeling inside when you think you're getting fired and then they tell you what's happening that night?
I mean, it was one of those things, like, you talking about the night of Nexus, like Miami?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, we got there too. Waited around. We had no idea what the hell was going on. Like we were just blind. And then we all went to Vince's office, and he pretty much told us, you know, you guys are going to be a stable, every one of you. You know, you're a young talent. You're going to come in like a gang and destroy everything. So we're all looking around like, what the hell is he talking about right now? And then he said, I want you to destroy the people in the ring. I want you to destroy the ring. I want you to just, you know, do everything. And pretty much make sure like a bomb went off in there for you, you know, like kaboom, here we are, ta-da. So pretty much we went down there and beat the hell out of everyone. I mean, including the announcers, the refs, the anyone we saw. And we had fun doing it. And, man, it was some fun times, man. The people, oh, my gosh, they hated us. Oh, it was like, you know, you have your rebel crowds, you know, the ones that love the bad guys and the heels and all this. But, my gosh, like, I felt like I was getting, like, food and drinks thrown at me when we would the crowd. I mean, it was like, yes, they hate us.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, I feel like there's been, like, five shock and chaos moments, you know, this decade where it's just completely nuts. No one has any idea what's going on. And that's near, you know, near the top, if not at the top. It was just, no one saw it coming. It was just insane.
Like you just said, no one saw it coming. And we didn't even see it coming. Like, had no idea. And then we had to wear these armbands around everywhere we went, outside, you know, the gyms, the airports. The only time we got to take that thing off is when we came home. But it was just, man, it was a good moment. Like I said, moments, man, it's about moments. It was just so much fun. And it put us all on the map.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. It's crazy. That was 7 years ago now, right? And,
maybe going on eight, but yeah.
Yeah.
2010. Jeez. Yeah, 7 years, yeah.
That's crazy. It doesn't feel like that long ago.
I know. The reunion would be great if it could happen.
Yeah, its 25th anniversary would be a good spot for it. Yeah,
holy hell. Think about that.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right.
You also got Ron Simmons, Jazz, Teddy Long, all these greats.
Let's talk about school some more. Yeah.
I like going just back and forth. It's very chaotic.
It's okay. I can play ping pong. The school is amazing. We got two rings that are, you know, brand new. We're going to be running shows. We are running shows, you know, stuff like that. We got Teddy Long is working hand-to-hand with me and Richard. I mean, he's wonderful, always been wonderful. Teddy Long was good to me back when I first started because I met him through Mr. Hughes and Rocky King and guys like that back when I started in Atlanta. And Teddy, since the first day I met him, has been a saint, a good soul, just a good man. And he's always told me right from wrong. He's always helped me, and now he's helping school. And it's amazing because he's legit done it all. He's, you know, set up rings, took down rings, referee, managed, general manager. You know, just, he's like a book of knowledge and been around for years after years after years. So he has, like, so much to give. And then Mr. Hughes is, you know, head trainer with it and everything, and he's teaching everybody, you know, the right way to do things, just like he taught me. We have Ron Simmons coming in. We have Jazz helping out. I mean, we got over 100 some years of knowledge that you can come in and get.
Yeah, absolutely. And so face2facewrestling.com, when are classes? How can people sign up?
Honestly, go to face2facewrestling.com and it tells you everything. Just remember the website. Go there. It has everything on there.
And that's face2, the number 2.
Face2facewrestling.com.
All right.
Face2facewrestling.com.
Gotcha. And so we're getting a lot of questions here in the chat, a lot of questions about Southpaw Regional Wrestling. Pelvis Wesley appearing on Raw.
Watch out now, man. I'm coming through.
Was that something you created? Pelvis Wesley?
Okay. This is what happened. That Southpaw was like a year in the making. You know, like the .com crew, Dustin and Brian, they're wonderful. Two guys I love to death. And they are so much fun to work with. And it was like they just wanted to do it, you know, just have fun with it. You know, let's relive the 80s and all that stuff. So next thing you know, a year after they just mentioned it to me, I guess it got approved. So me and Connor from Ascension went to Graceland. And we went to see everything you can see about Elvis when we were in Memphis. So after that, it was one of those things where they were like, yeah, we got approved to do Southpaw. I'm like, yes, I want to be like an Elvis character. And they're like, okay, well, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm just going to mock Elvis and shake my hips a lot. So that's pretty much how Impressive Pelvis Wesley came involved, like with Southpaw, because they asked me what my name would be, and it was like, I just said Impressive Pelvis, and they're like, Wesley. I'm like, yeah, let's do that, you know. So it was just, you know, just fun. I mean, that's, oh my gosh, it's so much fun to do too. Just, you know, having fun, acting like a fool.
Has there been talk about, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, has there been talk about, you know, maybe spoofing other eras, like doing like Southpaw wrestling from the 50s or the 60s, you know, or extreme Southpaw wrestling from the 90s, you know?
I have not yet anyway, but I'm sure, you know, if we can get it out there, it might happen. You never know.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fun to do. I can tell you right now, we all have fun doing that.
Yeah, it looked like it. It was one of the. I mean, it just took off. It was one of those organic things that just flew on the internet.
I'm glad everyone's enjoying it.
Do you keep in touch with Jinder and Drew much right now? Since they're both different brands, and you know, Drew and NXT.
Oh, I mean, yeah, we text each other and everything, you know, like here and there. But, I mean, it's not like we talk to each other every day. But, you know, it's like every time we talk, we just pick up. You know, it's like we never left off type deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, hell, we ran the roads together for 2 years straight and just became real close. And, you know, I love him to death and everything. But Drew's back killing it. Jinder's back killing it still, you know what I mean? And something's going to happen where he gets another shot, I'm sure. And, but it's just one of those things that I'm just happy for him, man. Like, I'm really genuinely happy for him.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Let's see. There's a couple more questions here. Someone's asking, what's your Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
In my career?
I think of all time. If you had to pick a Mount Rushmore of wrestling, who would you put on it?
Like four people.
Four people.
Yeah, just throw the horsemen up there, man. You know? I mean, yeah, the machine, they were wonderful.
Yeah.
But my Mount Rushmore, I would probably put Flair, Shawn, Sting. Oh man, this fourth one's hard.
It is.
So probably Dr. Tom Pritchard or Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
And you know, one of them. How about I just do like a two-faced character and put half and half? just because they're both wonderful and they helped me out a lot and still do. And they were amazing in-ring competitors, like, as you know, in the ring, psychology, everything. They were wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, that would probably be mine. Who would be yours?
Me? Oh, geez. Yeah. Mine would probably be, I was a big WWF guy in the 80s, so it'd probably be Hogan, yeah. Savage, Flair, and Austin.
Of course, yeah. I mean, those are amazing too.
You know? Yeah, you can't answer wrong, I guess.
you know, they're great in their own ways of, you know, while we were kids, while we met them growing up, you know, just all of that. And it's just one of those things where, like, you can ask a million people that and they're going to have different answers.
Absolutely. And what's been your favorite match in WWE?
My favorite ever?
Yeah.
three off the top of my head. SummerSlam, Nexus versus WWE, which we should have won. Mine and Rhino's match with the Usos when we won the title, just because the storyline was good, the people were behind it, and it was like the roof blew off when we won, and it was such a like chill butt moment.
Yeah.
And then probably the Money in the Bank one, obviously, just because I've always wanted to be in another one and I haven't. And I just love climbing ladders and doing crazy stuff. So probably those three. But yeah. Man, I haven't watched them back in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
I should do that.
Some people are mentioning how you and Rhino were killing it on SmackDown. When do we get to see more of you guys on Raw? I think people want to see that.
Sure, tell them I'd like to see it too. I don't control it. I have no idea.
Yeah. And you mentioned traveling with Jinder and Drew when you were working with them. Do you travel with Rhino right now a lot, or who do you usually travel?
Yeah, we do, actually. Yeah, he's a road warrior, man. He's always wants to drive. Always wants to, you know, drive all the way. Like he's like a night out.
Yeah.
You know, we watched some documentaries together. But he's one hell of a guy, man. Great dude.
Yeah. And but, what,
yeah.
Was that something that kind of happened organically with you and him when that started? Or was it kind of the plan was, you know, for you guys to become a tag team when you were doing the free agent stuff?
I didn't know until the day of.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. I mean, it's like we find out, you know, just a few hours before you guys made the fans and everything. So it's like we don't know.
Yeah. Someone's a question about your school. How many of your kids are you training at your pro wrestling school?
Right. Like right now, I mean, we have kids coming in at the end of November, December, and then like four signing up at next year. So right now we have, I think, like six in there, you know, doing their thing. But we're going to have, you know, I don't know, 12, 13 by the start of next year or something like that.
Wow. That's great.
So it's going. But, I mean, you know, it always starts out slow. And then you got to get it, you know, noticed and have people hear about it. And then when they hear about it, they get interested. And when they get interested, they might want to do it.
Right.
You know, so it's just one of those things. Remember, Face 2, the number 2, facewrestling.com.
Number 2. And what's the address?
I don't know. You have to ask Rich for that.
Here, I could get...
off the top of my head, I don't have it. But, you know, those things called the GPS? They can get you everywhere.
Let me see if it's in Atlanta. But
it's in Atlanta, yes.
So you can contact them through their website.
Address off the top of my head, no idea.
Gotcha. Yeah, you can contact them through their website if you're interested. And all the plans are there, different phases. It's got to be exciting. Is it tough, like balancing the crazy travel with WWE and this?
Yeah, but I'm always up for challenges, so I'm ready for it. I'm ready to have fun with it.
Yeah.
So you know, let's do it.
Someone's asking how many kids you got.
I got too many, actually. If you talk about Heath Slater. Yeah, but Heath Miller has two beautiful girls.
Oh, congrats. Nice.
Yeah, I got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. 5-year-old is a daddy's princess that is, you know, going to get me in trouble if any boys break her heart. And then I got my 3-year-old. Her name's Remedy. And she is like the next Ronda Rousey. She is dynamite, man. Yeah. Dynamite.
Nice.
She's tougher than I am, being honest.
Yeah, that's always great. My daughters are 6 and 8. They're really close in age, too. So it's really, that's such an awesome age spread with that.
It is. Those 2 years are great.
Yeah. And thanks to James, he's pointing out the address is 3201 Atlanta Industrial Parkway Northwest in Atlanta for face-to-face wrestling. Man, I really appreciate it. I know you just got back from the UK tour. I really appreciate you taking the time this morning to speak with us.
Oh, man, thanks for having me, man. It's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'd love to have you on again. Again, everyone, facetofacewrestling.com. You live in the Atlanta area, you feel like moving out there, check this out, be trained by a current WWE superstar and who's been through it all. Ethan, well, take care. We really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Come on down. Thank you so much, buddy.
All right, man. Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, man. He's Heath Slater. Really underrated performer, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Just
like I was mentioning, everything he does is entertaining. You know, every group he's been in, he's just he's awesome. At really capitalizing on, you know, the time whenever he's on TV.
Absolutely. And you know, really what's remarkable about his storyline last year is, when's the last time we got that much motivation and development outside of the ring from a WWE superstar? You know, almost an unprecedented level last year. And I think he's one of those guys, you know, that I think even if he decided to retire from the ring, I think he would have a career in acting and performing, because I think he's just so captivating on screen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. So
definitely check that out. I mean, and you know, as far as being, you know, wrestling training, there's obviously the moves and everything, learning how to take bumps and everything correctly, but also, you know, the character and learning from a dude like that, you know, that's huge. So face-to-facewrestling.com, the number 2.
Yeah, man. So lots to talk about with SmackDown last night.
Holy crap. Series. There's a lot to talk about. Like, Jesus,
what's going on? Like, what's going on right now? Is this like, did they pull the emergency brake and just say, hey, we gotta build this up a little bit more?
Something's up.
Yeah.
Something's up.
Very weird. So we said it wasn't going to happen, folks. Me, Raj, Justin Labar, we're all incorrect. Because we said there's no way AJ Styles is going to be.
We didn't say no way. We didn't say no way.
It's highly unlikely.
No, we just thought the way they were doing it, yes, it didn't seem like it.
It was a surprise last night that AJ Styles beat Jinder Mahal, and AJ Styles will be facing Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. AJ Styles, 5'8", versus Brock Lesnar, 6'3", at Survivor Series.
I just get the feeling like Lesnar's going to kill AJ. Look, you know, with Braun, they didn't even go 10 minutes, you know. AJ, they had him beat clean by Baron Corbin a couple weeks ago. You know, beat clean by Finn, you know, before that or after that, whenever, you know, a couple weeks ago. So, you know, they're not concerned about protecting AJ. Now,
No, they're not.
The WWE Championship, are they going to have it just jobbed out like that?
Yeah.
I could see it. I mean, what if they pulled Jinder out of that match because they didn't want Jinder to get squashed?
Maybe.
I don't think that's it, because so much has changed, it definitely seems like there's more to the story. We're going to try to be on it. Anything that we do find out or anything that comes out, you know.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, we've still got a week and a half to go.
Yeah, but it looks like, you know, it seemed like the obvious spot to put Jinder would be on Team SmackDown. And then this morning we find out that John Cena, who was supposed to be the special referee for Jinder versus Brock,
who was supposed to be the free agent who was last seen on Monday Night Raw in a program against Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. It's one of those things that things are changing so much, it's almost hard to get into the Survivor Series. But at the same time, a lot of things are changing for the better.
Yeah.
You know, like, first of all, I think the Usos versus Seth and Dean is a much stronger match than the Usos versus Sheamus and Cesaro. But if it leads to the New Day versus the Shield,
yeah,
then that leads to an awesome match there. So, and Usos versus Sheamus and Cesaro would be awesome.
But what's up? Well, last night, was that a work or was that legit?
I don't know. I thought that was a work.
Was it?
Yeah. That's just a way to keep it building.
You know, sometimes
I think, yeah, I mean, normally we would have heard something if it wasn't. I think it was just an angle. I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha. Make Benjamin and Gable just look more ruthless.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to do a finish right off the bat. This is the start of their weird, though, program.
But that was early in the match. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Like, well, they were running out of time too. I mean, they were most of that match was the commercial break.
Well, they fooled a lot of people, because I saw on social last night, everyone was like, what's going on with this? Is he really hurt? What's happening?
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, yeah, man, last night opens up Shane McMahon in the ring, joined by the New Day, interrupted by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, leading to a match, Kofi Kingston versus Sami Zayn, Kofi Kingston winning.
Yeah, you know, great opener. I think Owens and Sammy are entertaining as hell. But on the pecking order, Owen seems to be back to where he was before he headbutted Vince McMahon. You know what I mean? Like, he's more prominently featured, but he's kind of back to not really being protected. You could tell they're not building up, you know, for a little bit there. It looked like maybe they were going to do Triple H and Owens at WrestleMania. Sure. But this is the season where you really start protecting the guys that's going to face Triple H. And I think it's probably going to be Triple H and Kurt Angle. That's what I'm hearing. But yeah, it looks like Owens is just kind of back to, you know.
Yeah, it's weird they give him this hot storyline with Sami Zayn after Hell in a Cell. And now they don't really have a Survivor Series storyline. They could play spoilers.
I'm sure they will. They'll be there for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird when you have Kevin Owens essentially in a feud with Shane O'Mac still, and then Shane's feud is with Raw. Like, Shane's not even paying attention to Kevin, you know?
Yeah, and then they're just getting beat left and right. You know, yeah. Owens lost to Nakamura, Sammy's lost to Orton, and this week to, you know, Kofi Kingston. And, you know, if you're building the New Day versus the Shield, yeah, you want to give the New Day some wins, but maybe not do it over like your hottest act right now, which is Owens and Sammy. Maybe have them beat somebody else.
Yeah, man.
Orban in a non-title match.
Ty Dillinger was just hanging out backstage. He would have been happy to come out there.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of people you could beat.
It's weird right now. SmackDown's a very, very weird show at the moment, is because if you were to ask me week to week, like, who are the stars of the show? It doesn't seem like that's a lot of who you're seeing and pushing. I mean, Jinder, like, love him or hate him right now, they've definitely made him a main attraction. The Fashion Police, Owens and Zayn, Bobby Roode. But well, yeah,
the biggest star on SmackDown from a name perspective is Randy Orton. And he's kind of like not doing anything. I mean, he was, you know, he's in the Survivor Series match, but he's not really in a strong feud or anything. I mean, unless the Rusev thing, I guess, I don't even know if you could consider it going when Orton's beaten him so convincingly.
Yeah, and AJ Styles, I feel like it's just been, since they took the U.S. title off of him, he's just been lost in the shuffle, and now, great, he's the champ again, but I don't know. Last time, that seemed to stall out as well, and he doesn't even have Dean this time to go against, so there's no hot feud. I mean, AJ versus Owens would be great, but I don't think they're going to go that direction.
Yeah, unless, you know, we'll run down some theories on what's going on with Jinder and AJ after this, because
what's the theories? What's going on with the WWE?
It could be just a way to shake up things at the top on SmackDown, like take the title off of Jinder, have Jinder regain it in India. You know, we talked about that last week.
And here's the crazy part. Next week, two more title matches. The women's title's on the line on SmackDown, and isn't the U.S. title on the line for SmackDown next week also?
What was it? It's definitely the women's title. Yeah, I think you're right. It's two title matches next week. Let me double check.
So Survivor Series could be an entirely different card even than it is today.
Yes, it could be. But it's not out of the question that, you know, they beat Natalya, you know, and Charlotte wins the belt.
Charlotte, I mean,
why are they doing this match otherwise? Why not wait until the pay-per-view?
Charlotte versus Alexa would be great, although you have a similar height problem that you have to AJ versus Brock. I think Charlotte and Alexa a little kind of mismatched.
Yeah, by doing all these changes, you're not having a build to any of these matches, you know? Like, there's things you can do even with them being on separate brands. Like, you could do the split screen stuff that they do like in UFC to build a fight, you know, with the two champions going back and forth. They're not doing any of that, and if they do change that belt, people that only watch Raw are not even going to know that match or those two matches. I can't see Sin Cara beating Baron Corbin, but
Sin Cara versus The Miz, Raj. It's a once in a lifetime dream match.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for it. They're giving it away at Survivor Series. They should be, you know, waiting for Mania. Have people been forwarding you these WWE fan council surveys?
Yeah, I've been getting them.
It seemed like they sent out a lot of them about what you thought of Hell in a Cell, what you thought of SmackDown storylines, a lot of stuff about what do you think about Survivor Series.
I haven't checked out the latest one. The last one I checked out was the one that had the questions about GFW and.
Oh, no, there have been a couple since. One was about Survivor Series. What are you looking forward to? Mm-hmm. You know, but just, I mean, also like ranking your interest in each individual match. And I'm sure you know, I mean, I fill them out, honestly. I always say they're going to rue the day that they put me on the fan council because I give them my honest opinion. But the last couple ones, one was about like Komen, about Susan G. Komen and their partnership with them. And then one was about, it's about like gambling and like, do you play the lottery and like other sort of, I think it was like a licensing thing. But with Survivor Series, they wanted to know a lot about how you felt about specific matches. My guess is as the card was originally announced, most people were not that excited for Survivor Series.
Yeah, probably, but honestly, what different? Yeah, I mean, it is good to make the card as strong as possible. If you want it to be one of your big four, one of your four tentpole events, you definitely want to throw everything at it.
Especially if there's going to be less pay-per-views next year.
But why not do it earlier so you could build these matches better, you know?
The WWE is not really known for planning ahead and playing the long game when it comes to story. And that works both ways, right?
To an extent, unless they still do Roman and Brock, which has been planned for a year at Mania.
Wasn't that supposed to be the plan? I mean, but with like Roman Reigns is a little different. I feel like Roman Reigns is the only one that they have a multi-year plan for. Everything else seems like it's, well, what does Vince feel like that day? You know, or creative had this idea. Oh, sorry, guys. It turns out the Emelina thing's not going to work. Let's scrap it. you know, so I don't know, man. But yeah, it's just a weird time right now with SmackDown. I feel like I have no clue what's going on. But unpredictable can be good. Man, I miss talking smack. I miss having some additional context for this because I feel like they could be having some good conversations about all this. But last night, Rusev versus Randy Orton. I will say, Raj, that moment happened last night when Aiden English was out there doing the Rusev singing introduction. Remember we talk about those cringe moments when someone that's not a wrestling fan is in the room during a segment? And that was one.
All right, guys, real quick. Okay. So, yeah, obviously there's people speculating that gender losing was an injury or a wellness violation, wellness policy violation. So Gender posted this on Instagram just today. This morning.
Moments ago.
To AJ Styles, you are the better man for one night. 6 months I held the WWE Championship, defended it countless times all over the world. I will one day raise the title again. To my haters and wrestling insiders, this was not an experiment. I'm not injured. I have not violated the wellness policy. So keep throwing shade my way. It only motivates me. So, I mean he wouldn't be writing that if it was any of that. So
what, but like think about the last time a champion had to explain a defeat as saying like, guys, this wasn't to cover for something else.
Well,
to say, I legitimately lost.
Well, when it's changed within a day, you know, obviously it raises red flags. So I would have done it for anyone. If Brock Lesnar, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, he's wrestling on Raw Monday, and then he loses the title. You know, whoever it is, when it's that quick of a decision, it's going to
Brock would have just released a statement saying, everyone can't deal with what a jacked white boy I am. You know, right, just get over it.
No, Brock wouldn't care, but
Brock would not care. Awesome. So last night, Aiden English singing intro, Rusev. I was waiting for that to end. I had someone who's not
I love
a wrestling
it, though.
Fan. But I had someone not a wrestling fan in the room for that.
Oh, gotcha.
Just giving me that look like, this is what you have to be home to watch every week? Like, this is why you can't, this is why I had to come to you? Is because you couldn't leave because of this? yeah, it's hit or miss, folks, week to week. But Rusev versus Randy Orton. Randy Orton picking up the win. How's this feud help Rusev?
It doesn't.
It does not.
Well, the feud that they're going to after Survivor Series is New Day versus Aiden English and Rusev.
Okay.
So I think they're just treading water until after Survivor Series because they need to, you know, make the New Day strong if they're facing the Shield. And again, they haven't officially announced the Shield versus New Day. And if somehow, but you got to figure Roman's cleared if he's coming back on Monday. He's not getting checked out there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Battle of the Sexes last night, Becky Lynch versus James Ellsworth. An intergender match or mixed gender match with some contact. This was not as soft as people thought it was going to be.
When was Ellsworth's last match?
When he went for the championship against AJ Styles.
That was like a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I want to say. I don't think he's wrestled anything since then, has he?
I don't think so. Ellsworth's trying to, you know, do some recycled Andy Kaufman stuff here. Which, it just came across as so forced. And
Ellsworth,
cheesy.
You were no Andy Kaufman.
You're no Andy Kaufman.
You're not even Jim Carrey doing Andy Kaufman.
Yeah. I was interested to see how they're, you know, how they were going to let this match go, being in the PG era. They don't allow man on women violence now. And they didn't really have it, but they went a long time. So I was kind of surprised by that. You know, the most hurtful thing Ellsworth did was, you know, the pushes to Becky that sent her out of the ring. But
yeah, that was more than I expected. But man, I tweeted this last night. This is Becky's first feud in, I mean, this is her only feud this year. This is her only feud since Alexa Bliss. I mean, I really don't count her and Mickey James. They never really got going, but
yeah,
for Becky, this has been it. Becky and Ellsworth.
And it's over, apparently.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be a rematch.
They could have done it.
Two out of three falls match.
Yeah, we'll have to speculate what the December
60-minute Iron Person match.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But I think it's bad when you present Ellsworth as a joke and it takes Becky that long to beat her, to beat him, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, good for Becky, right? I mean, she has now inherited, now that Sami Zayn at least is in something, Becky is the one that is massively over with the fans that's just being slept on by creative. But I'm sure in creative's mind, this is like a big opportunity for her.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know? Sure, Tamina would have killed for this opportunity.
Yeah, but it should have been like a 2-minute match. But regardless, they need to, you know, especially when you have plenty of time. I mean, you have plenty of other segments that could use the time. So. There's no need for it to really go this long, but regardless, whatever it was. Yeah, I thought this whole episode of SmackDown was fun to watch, but nothing really stuck other than obviously AJ and Jinder.
So Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable.
Wait, did you skip over the Bludgeon Brothers promo?
Oh, did I?
Glenn. Bludgeon Brothers.
I try not to pay too close of attention during those promos. The non-wrestling fan was still in the room at that point. And again, I got another
you
look.
Like switch the channel real quick. When
I seriously wanted to, because it was just like I swear to God, this is not indicative of pro wrestling or the WWE.
I hope it's something that's supposed to be campy cheesy, because if it's supposed to be scary or intimidating, it's not working.
No, it is not. It's very throwback. To a bygone era.
It's very Southpaw.
Yeah, it's very Southpaw. Oh, man. So, the Usos.
They had the women out there real quick. Charlotte, and we'll talk a little bit about the Ric Flair documentary, but Charlotte, man, she was so larger than life as a heel on Raw, and she just blends in kind of with everyone out there. It's just kind of I hope they can get her going again, and maybe next week they do.
Well, that's part of the problem is that SmackDown doesn't do individual women's storylines. I mean, it's the division, you know, to the casual fan watching, it's, you'd think that the SmackDown women's division was a group like the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Like they always travel together. They always perform together in matches.
Yeah. The one week where one of the women has a singles match, it's against a man, and all the women are just pumped out on the outside anyway.
So really it should just be a faction. they should do nothing but mixed gender matches and just have the women's division like taking on the men's division one at a time.
Yeah. It's like the TNA X division back in the day where it's the same group of guys wrestling each other in multi-person matches.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, especially now that Raw is actually doing a good job with separating its women's storylines.
Yeah.
So the Usos, that probably was a work, could have been a real injury. Who knows?
Pretty positive it was a work.
I think the Usos
are working today. So,
There you go. On a Wednesday.
Yeah. They're still overseas. They got their tour still for the rest of the week.
Wow. That's crazy. So Raw got to come back. So Benjamin and Gable won by count out, and, we will see. We will see where that goes. Post Survivor Series.
Yeah. So today, do you say Raw got to come back?
Well, I'm assuming because Heath Slater was.
No. So some people got to come back. But they switched the lineups because of, you know, Roman Reigns and all the stuff going on. So Heath, you know, some people got brought back after Raw Monday night, and Heath was one of them. But yeah, Raw is actually in Germany tonight.
Oh, nice.
Or today. So that show is going to start soon. While SmackDown is in Leeds, England.
There you have it. And so we should know. We should have it confirmed to be on the shadow of a doubt within a few hours. What's up with the Usos? Although they could keep him off a live event to keep kayfabe.
I don't think they'll do that. Yeah. They don't care that much. If he doesn't show up, he's, you know, he's really injured.
Nothing is sacred anymore. No. So yeah, man.
Yeah, especially these overseas events. You know, they're really trying to keep the advertised talent, you know, there.
Well, those are huge, right? I mean, the WWE goes overseas maybe twice a year.
Right. Yeah. So you got Triple H wrestling, Kurt Angle wrestling. Kurt Angle wrestled his first WWE live event yesterday.
Wow.
Teaming with The Shield. So, yeah.
So did you see the promo for Damnation with Luke Harper
last Yeah, week? So yeah, the same show where you're trying to present him as this scary horror movie villain, and then you have him talking about his role on Damnation. It's a disconnect.
But know? I like how even though Damnation takes place 100 and some odd years ago, Luke Harper looks exactly the same, dressed exactly the same. Like there's no difference.
Yeah.
You know?
Luke Harper has a cool look. I wish they'd do something with him. They're just wasting him.
You know, we'll see. I'll actually tune into Damnation. I'm curious about the show because they promoted the hell out of it. But
yeah, the promos look cool, but I can't add another show to my lineup.
I know. They didn't get me with Queen of the South, even with that rap video they were using to promote it. So, but maybe yeah. Damnation will work in. Oh, by the way, thanks to everyone on Twitter the other night. Chris retweeted me on the Wrestling Inc. feed about cord cutters and what they're using to watch WWE. So I'm officially cutting the cord this weekend. And I think, Raj, you're using PlayStation View, right?
Yeah, I actually have to use two because PlayStation View in Colorado, they showed the Raw West Coast feed. So it's 3 hours later.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's annoying as hell. So yeah, if you go to PlayStation View, you're going to get the West Coast feed.
Okay, well, that's
is good. That what you're thinking, is that what you were thinking of?
I was contemplating what are you using for the East Coast feed?
So I do PlayStation Live for pretty much everything.
Okay.
And then Sling TV shows the actual East Coast feed. I don't know if they'll do it if you live in California. Do those trials before you switch.
Okay. I will check that out this week. Got to get rid of Comcast for TV, man.
Yeah. I mean, see, that's the thing now when you're talking about cord cutting, because it's still technically kind of like cable, but you're watching it all because it's live cable channel. It's not like you're watching specific things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it is, you're not going through the traditional realm of cable or satellite. So
you know what it is?
I can see that taking off huge.
I was thinking about it where I was like, oh, it's only $20 extra to get TV with the internet service through Comcast. But then that's all those hidden fees that you get, the broadcast carriage, the DVR fee. That's where all the hidden fees go, is in the live TV portion.
Yep. And like, we have five TVs in our house and we had DirecTV. And so each of those, each of those genies cost extra, and then all the fees, and every year you have to threaten to cancel to get a new promotion.
It's absurd. So I'm thinking about, maybe I'll go with Sling then, because I got to do something with this. I just want to be nimble because, you know, hey, look, 4K streaming is probably going to start to roll out in the next year. I don't want to be beholden to one 2-year contract given where we're at with technology.
Yep. Just check it out first. But
yeah, no, I definitely will.
And DirecTV Now, they might have USA Network, the live version.
That's good to know. Yeah, because Comcast, I can get the East Coast feed online. But yeah, I'm streaming Comcast, which is kind of a funny roundabout way to go. So yeah,
our old Sean Ross Sapp asking, how is PlayStation View outside of the West Coast feed stuff? I think it's great.
Sean just text you to ask that?
Yeah, he's watching the podcast. Sean. Yeah, so Sean, it's great. I watch everything, NFL Network. If you're a football fan, pretty much everything is on there. So, and you get local channels. The only one that's not on there for us is ABC, but you know that stuff's on demand anyway. So,
yeah, well, I'll figure it out to make sure that it does not interrupt my podcast schedule. That's for sure. Speaking of which, you know, I would have opened the top of the show with this otherwise, but oh my God, Matt Morgan won last night.
Matt Morgan, congrats.
Yeah, congrats.
Our own Matt Morgan, yeah. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, definitely.
Longwood City Commissioner?
Commissioner. Commissioner Morgan. Like Commissioner Morgan. Morgan, different.
So adding another thing that he needs to do.
I saw that.
He wasn't busy before.
But no, that's great. Props to him, man. I mean, he really, really worked hard for this, knocking on doors, doing a ton of media.
He wanted big. 59% of the vote.
Yeah, that's decisive, man, for Longwood, Florida. So that's awesome. Congrats to him. And we'll get the lowdown on what that means from him, I'm sure, Monday night on Wrestling Inc. But let's talk about the other surprising victory last night. second only to Matt Morgan.
And he also tweeted about it, said what goes around does actually come around, back around in politics.
Yeah.
Who knew? We shocked the world.
Yes. Even more so than AJ Styles defeating Jinder Mahal last night.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, man. So we talked about it earlier. I mean, look, the match was actually really good. I thought this was...
So where are we at now, right now? We're at AJ?
We're at AJ and Jinder.
Jinder's best WWE match ever.
Yeah.
Right? I can't think of anything that's been better.
It was good, man. It's good. I like how the interference didn't stop. Love Jinder turning on the Singh brothers after.
Did they show that?
He beat him down on the ramp a little bit.
Okay. I must have missed that part when I was watching it, but I saw it afterwards. People sent me that video. So I didn't know if that was off camera. But yeah,
the TV. Yeah.
But he kind of smacks them around when they lose anyway. So I don't think that means anything.
That's true. It's a very, very codependent, weird relationship they have. Yeah.
You know? They're his James Ellsworth. So
yeah, there you go. No, it's crazy, man. So that happened last night. Now it's going to be AJ versus Brock. They had the graphics up. I mean, I don't think this is changing back on the next SmackDown. In fact, here's a thought. Maybe Jinder interferes with this match somehow, so we do not have a conclusive victor between Brock and AJ.
Could.
Kind of protects AJ if that's how AJ loses, that Jinder gets his revenge.
Well, we'll talk our theories when we're done with SmackDown.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the last segment.
Okay, well, hey, let's jump into it. First off, really good match. You know, for AJ, it was a really good match. AJ has them all the time. Jinder, I thought it was the best match of his career. And this was what I was saying from the beginning. Like, if they would have pushed him starting slow and maybe build up to working with AJ and get that experience before pushing him to the top, fans would have bought into that more. And I'm not saying he's done this, for Irv. This could be, like we said, this could be a way that they don't want to squash him by Brock. And they felt it was okay to just, squash AJ. If it's not a wellness thing, like he's saying, and it's not an injury, then yeah, it could be that. It could be that they just wanted to shake things up at the top and Jinder wins it back at the December pay-per-view. Or they just felt like Jinder at the top wasn't working. It seems like it would be odd to do it weeks away from when they're going to India to just pull the plug like that. So I don't think that's it. But He could always win it back there. I mean, that would be a big story, and that definitely could be it. Because the India tour is December 8th and 9th. And let me see. When's the next WWE pay-per-view? When's Clash of Champions? That's mid-December, right?
Yeah, I think it's it's basically mid-December.
Yeah, December 17th. So it's after the tour of India. So it's not like Jinder could win it back and defend it. Oh, no, but he can't win it in India if he's facing Kevin Owens.
Yeah. You're right.
So maybe he wins it back before they go to India. Hey, it just seems weird that they would pull the plug when it really doesn't matter on subscriptions, as it's shown. I don't see AJ versus Brock getting more, making a difference with people watching the Survivor Series and, Brock and Jinder. Because we've seen, like, the last quarter, the growth in subscriptions was the same as the year before, even though they had the big fatal four-way at SummerSlam and Brock versus Strowman, Brock versus Samoa Joe. So anyway.
Yeah. Oh man. So much could change given this. Speaking of which, isn't it weird? I don't know about you. I was reading something online. Somebody posted about the last time the WWE titles changed hands on TV. It's funny that two back-to-back nights, because it had been about almost half a year since it happened.
When was the last time that the WWE title changed hands and it wasn't live?
Yeah. And this was apparently, they were saying, the first time it's happened overseas.
Overseas, yeah. But the first time that it wasn't live, I can't even remember the last time. I mean, I'm thinking you had Diesel when he beat Bob Backlund. That was like 95. So it's been a while.
Yeah. Anything can happen. And hey, the UK fans, you're not going to get a pay-per-view, but you got a title change.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And one that when the tour started, no one saw that coming.
Yeah, I mean, this literally changes everything in the lead up to Survivor Series. So, man, that and Cena. Cena's on Team SmackDown.
Cena's Team SmackDown. So another big change. They never announced. So, you know, lucky for them, they never announced Cena as a special referee. So, yeah, that completely changed, you know, stuff at the top. So Cena was supposed to be the referee for Jinder versus Lesnar. And I think everyone assumed that something would happen there that would lead to Jinder and Cena at WrestleMania. Who knows now? It's kind of cool not knowing that everything's in chaos because, you know, it's not so predictable. So it's kind of awesome.
That's true. It is not predictable. So we'll see, man. Crazy time right now.
Who wins that match? No.
What with SmackDown
versus SmackDown.
I think maybe Brock gets the win over AJ and Team SmackDown wins over Raw.
Yeah, I can't fathom AJ beating Brock. So, and if they have Raw beat SmackDown on top of that, even if SmackDown wins the rest of the matches that night, which I doubt it. I'm sure the Shield will beat the New Day. But they've kind of said, like, if Raw loses, Kurt Angle, you know, is getting fired pretty much.
Oh, that's true.
Well, but then again, that could be a step in the storyline with Triple H.
Yeah. Cena versus, I mean, in the teams, what I'm really interested to see in that 5-on-5 is Cena versus Braun.
Yeah, they did that on TV, remember?
Yeah.
In a throwaway match, but.
I know, which is amazing because that could have been favorite, but that is, I think, going to be the big face-off of this.
I think Cena and Angle will be the big face-off.
Yeah.
You know, like Cena's first TV match was with Kurt Angle.
Actually, I kind of like to see Nakamura and Braun. That would be.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that dynamic. I think Braun would just throw him around.
See, I think Nakamura could tell a really good story with that.
If they had a feud, but I think with how they're pushing Braun right now as this monster, I don't think they'd give Nakamura much.
Actually,
but I agree.
Well, you know what it reminds me of is think about all the great 80s martial arts exploitation films of our time. And you would see that. You would see the fighting master who is smaller and nimble come up against the big, like, brawler type guy. And I always love those segments in the movies where he does the thing where he, like, hits him and the guy doesn't react. And then he's got to find a way to sort of outsmart him in the ring. I think Nakamura and Braun could have that dynamic.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. One second. I just got to update something, but keep going.
Oh, is there an Impact Wrestling conference call?
No, not today. Not today. They had it last Saturday with Alberto, which was interesting.
Yeah, man.
We discussed it on Monday's podcast.
this is just, I mean, just a fun time in the business right now, given how everything is sort of up in the air, right? I mean, you got Jericho wrestling in Japan. You've got Impact having to pay people to attend events. You've got the WWE scrambling and changing the. And what's funny about this is it's not like Roman is going to be out still, which would have been the cover before. They're like, oh, we got to rebuild Survivor Series. Roman's not going to be there. We're missing part of the roster. It's like, no, Roman's going to be back, and we're still redoing the whole thing 10 days out.
Yeah.
It's unpredictable, man, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, better than that feeling of inevitability. I did not watch the ESPN 30 for 30 on Ric Flair last night. Did you check that out?
I did. Well, one thing that I wonder if WWE, with how much buzz TLC got with Kurt Angle being added at the last minute, maybe they're like, hey, maybe it's just chaos and that might help Survivor Series, you know, the hype.
Yeah, the idea you never know.
Right. As opposed to just sticking with a static state heading into the show. So.
When, especially with this idea of less pay-per-views next year. So
I don't know if that's true. I think Dave Meltzer reported, you know, mentioned it on Wrestling Observer Radio. I think he's just misremembering that there was only one pay-per-view per month until June this year as well. Cause he said through May, and this month we only had 3 months with two branded pay-per-views. I mean, we had two pay-per-views in April, but one was WrestleMania and the other was a Raw show. But
yeah, Payback.
Yeah, so we had six Raw, six SmackDown, four co-branded. I'm guessing it's going to be the same next year.
Those dual month pay-per-views, it seemed like they all happened right in a row. So it seemed like from May until SummerSlam, we just had boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. The one thing I could see them doing, because they had two pay-per-views in June, two pay-per-views in July. I could see them cutting that down to one in June and one in July, with Raw getting one, SmackDown
kids
getting the other.
Kids are out of school, man. Kids love to spend money on pay cable special events.
Right. But I think they're in the red with these.
Which makes sense now that we don't have the cable. This isn't like the days of In Your House, where it's like, we just got to keep doing this.
Right. If it's not adding subscribers, then why do it? You know, yeah. It's just diluting the show. So, but you know, this was, you know, when everything unraveled with the last brand extension, it was a slow process, but one of the first things was, you know, them cutting down on pay-per-views and then them going back to having all the pay-per-views with both brands. So we'll see if that's the next step.
I mean, they're making, again, most profitable quarter. It seems like this austerity era with the brand splits working.
Yeah, for now. For now, for sure, you know. But they're weakening SmackDown by the month. And they keep weakening it. People are going to stop going to those shows. And, you know, they don't have to worry about pay-per-view numbers that much now. But people stop going to the live events. You know, it's that's the next step to making changes again.
And when we look back, we will say it all began to go down when they canceled Talking Smack. That was the domino.
That's been going in a sense, popularity wise, it's been going down a lot longer than that.
But with SmackDown, I'm telling you, I really feel like that was a big part of the key to SmackDown's initial success. It gave the brand its own identity that it kind of still has, like it's coasting on that, but it's not the same.
SmackDown just doesn't have any stars anymore. Like when they first did the brand extension, they had Cena come over and then you had Dean Ambrose and who was the champion. And so in theory, it was close to balanced at the top, and now it's not anywhere near close.
Yeah. But it made you more invested in the people they had. I think
I totally agree. I think that's one of the reasons why people favored SmackDown so much online, was because that show helped get the characters more over, and some of the most entertaining stuff of the night, you know, on those Tuesday nights would be on that show.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's different now. So we'll see. We'll see what happens post Survivor Series and with 2018 plans. So how was the Ric Flair doc last night?
I thought it was very entertaining. I think if you're a fan of Ric Flair, there's not going to be too much in there that you don't know. But when it's all put together, Chris mentioned this on Twitter, on our Twitter last night, but you could make this a 6-episode miniseries just because there's so much in his career that you just feel like it just scratches the surface almost. But yeah, the stuff with Reed is really sad. But it's an easy watch. It flies by. The things that I thought were interesting, was Flair talking about how Flair mentioned he was adopted. That was one thing I always forgot about, that Flair was adopted, didn't know his birth mother. His parents didn't tell him till he was 10, but you know, he said he didn't care when he found out. He talked about almost going to WWF in 86 and 88. I remember in 1988, they wanted to put him against Randy Savage at SummerSlam 88. They wanted that main event, but it didn't work out. 86, I'm totally forgetting about. I don't know if that's WrestleMania 2 they wanted him with Hogan. So
yeah, that would have been WrestleMania 2.
Yeah. And he was talking about how he throws his work punches, and he hung a string from the ceiling, and so he'd punch at that string for 3 years until he would miss, you know, until he's missing the string completely. So he wanted to make sure that, you know, get as close as you can without hitting the string. I thought that was a really cool thing, but it definitely, check it out. It's awesome, I thought.
Now I'm looking forward to watching it. After SmackDown last night, I even missed your text about Matt. I'd seen that earlier. I was such an old man last night. I think I went to bed at like 7:45 last night. I was like, I just need to go to sleep right now.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to try and check out the Ric Flair doc this week.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Hell of a podcast today. Thanks to Heath Slater.
A lot of stuff. Thanks, Heath Slater. Yeah, that was awesome. He's a great guest.
Heath Slater is exactly how I thought he would be, and that warms my heart.
You know? Yeah, no, he's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Cool. So yeah, face the number 2 facewrestling.com. And we'll be back Monday night, hopefully with Mr. Matt Morgan, Longwood commissioner-elect Matt Morgan, because I don't believe he's taken the office yet. Monday to talk about Monday Night Raw, the Go Home for Survivor Series. Raj, what should people look for on the site in the coming days?
We had exclusive interviews lately with Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, Lanny Poffo, more stuff from the conference call with Alberto El Patron, the questions that I asked him regarding Jeff Jarrett leaving Impact, Paige's WWE training. He answered that. We posted that yesterday. Just tons of stuff. So, you know, it's been a just crazy busy week. So it's going to stay like that. I mean, I think we've had like 100 articles just in the last 3 days.
Awesome, man. Stay tuned to Wrestling Inc. for all the latest. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. You can find me on Twitter under my name. And we'll see you back here, folks, next week on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.